Hallelujah. And to those that are here physically, praise God. Which one is sharper? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Aha. Great. Welcome to Booster Service. And I'm sure that you've had a wonderful week. Amen. And you're looking forward to a good weekend. Hallelujah. But no better time to listen to God, listen to His Word than this. Hallelujah. And I don't know. I mean, God's dealing with us. He deals with us in different dimensions and in different ways. Amen. And usually when we come together like this, He does have something to say. Okay. So, is it a sentence now? Nothing with God, nothing shall be impossible. This sentence kept coming to me. And I think that is in Luke chapter 1. Do you know when that statement was made? Or can you recall? I'm sure you've heard it before. Can you recall when it was made? Or who made that statement? Was it a statement to Mary? By who? Angel Gabriel. Thank you. Hallelujah. And what was he trying to do? What was Angel Gabriel trying to do? Hallelujah. All right, Luke chapter 1. I think that's in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. It says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you go to a verse before that, the angel just told Mary that Elizabeth, your cousin, who is far, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth one for her, who was called barren. So, I mean, this is the beginning of the story. Was an angel appeared to Mary and said, you're going to give birth, you're going to conceive and give birth to a son and all that and all that. And in a bid to convince her that, look, these things are certain, okay? He made mention of a relative who had conceived a son in her old age, and this relative most definitely and obviously Mary did not know that she had conceived. Hallelujah. Amen. Mary did not know that. And the angel was also emphasizing that verse 36 says, has conceived a son in her old age. Hallelujah. So first thing is that she had conceived. Hallelujah. But the critical thing for Mary to note was that in her old age, that's when she conceived. Okay? And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Hallelujah. So that means that for Elizabeth, and of course, we know the story of Elizabeth. Zechariah, Abby? She is the wife of Zechariah. Abby? Yeah, so you know that story that they had waited and waited and waited and waited. And then Zechariah, the priest, was praying. Hallelujah. And then the angel, he was offering incense. And then the angel appeared to him and told him. And he was the one that was going to stand in the way of whatever God was going to do. Okay, but then God was good enough and gave him an instruction. The name shall be called John. Hallelujah. And then because it was the timing was near. Hallelujah. It was the right time. The Savior was to be born and these things have to come to pass. Okay. Then the angel went to appear to Mary. Hallelujah. And then after having told Mary everything that he would tell Mary, he says, look, let's see verse 34. Okay, let's go to 32. Okay, so the angel was talking to Mary. He says, it will be great and will be called the son of the highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And the next verse, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Okay, that's what she said. So after the angel told her everything, and everything that the angel told her looked a bit out of place for her present situation, and she was saying, look, how can this be? Hallelujah. Amen. And oftentimes, most of the time, people have that question going through their mind when it comes to situations and when it comes to when you begin to relieve the promises of God, either the ones he gave to you in your closet or the ones you read in the scriptures that pertain to you or that address your situation. And then you just begin to wonder, how is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? One of the things I learned very early in life, number one, is how to deal with disappointment. And number two, how never to worry about how anything is going to happen. Amen. Very early in life, I learned that. So the final straw, the final blow to the that will break the camel's back was when I was going to get married. And it looked like everything was just impossible. You know when you go, and for those that are not married and those that are online, when you want to go and make your intention known that you want to marry, just be sure that you are very ready. You know what I mean by very ready? That once you go and say, once you go and make your intention known that, I want to marry you, and you go and you are bold enough to appear before either your father-in-law to be or your mother-in-law to be, just be sure that you are very, very ready. Hallelujah. Meaning that if they tell you that tomorrow, that they are ready tomorrow, excuse me. So I said, so once you go and appear before them, because if they tell you that they're ready next week, sometimes you are not able to bargain. They will tell you that for you to have come, Abi, that means you are. So there's no, they may not, you might just not be able to bargain. And so, I mean, that period when I was going to get married, from the moment that we went to show face and say we are doing introduction, and then they suddenly said, look, they gave us three or 4 month notice. And the marriage, the wedding just had to take place. Hallelujah. So for them, that you're daring to come and coming with your family means that you mean business. Hallelujah. So there's no buying time anymore. All the time you wanted to buy, you'll have bought it before showing up with your people. Hallelujah. So two things I learned to deal with. I learned to deal with disappointment, and I learned to deal with the fact that you don't just worry about how things happen or how things will happen as long as God has a hand in it. Amen. So here was the angel telling Mary everything, and then her response was like, how will these things ever be, in that I do not know a man? And then the angel said, and the angel answered to her, the Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, all these things, at the point that Mary was being told, even as we're reading it, it won't make sense. If I say, so, I'm hungry, or someone say, you're going to have food tomorrow, somebody going to bring a truck, the truck will come, it will come from Abuja, you'll deliver truck of this, truck of that, and this thing, it will not make any sense. The time, you just be like, okay, so they said it. The time it will make sense is when it becomes a reality. So when you see, when somebody first calls you and says, okay, I want to deliver something, are you at home? You say, okay, it looks like it. And then when you begin to see the truck, then you remember that you were told that this was going to happen. You know, just like in the book of Exodus, I think it was in Exodus chapter 3, when God sent Moses, he sent him to the Israelites, and then he said, if they ask you who sent you, tell them that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And let us read it. So please keep your tab in. Which one? Where are we coming from? Luke 1:37. So if you read Exodus 3, it says, from verse 6, it says, Now, moreover, I said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. So at this point, that's when God was introducing himself to Moses, right? And then he's telling him, look, I've seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians and to bring them up from a land, from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. See, God said, I'm taking them to a land full of honey. Now, the events between this speech and they are getting to the land full of honey, those that remember it, you just keep wondering, okay? Because they still went through the 10 plagues, and they went through passing through the Red Sea, hallelujah. They went through living in the wilderness, and then they got to the promised land. Okay, next verse. It says, now therefore, behold, the cry of children have come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Go to verse 15. So in verse 10, he says, I'll send you to my people. He says, Moreover, God says to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial to all generations. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So, at this point, he was sending Moses on an errand. Okay? And then, go to verse 20. Verse 18. It says, then they will hear my voice, and shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of Hebrews, has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord. I mean, he was telling them what they would do. Now, he was talking to Moses, hallelujah, and he was telling him what will happen in the future, in the near future, okay? And he says, go to the next verse, please. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. Amen. Now, I'm trying to paint a picture for you. He told Moses all these things, right? That they will happen. But the manner that they will be executed, he did not tell him. Amen. He says, I will go, verse 19, sorry, 19. 18. Huh. It says, then you they will heed your voice, and you shall come, and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of Hebrews has met with us now. Please let us go 3 days into the wilderness, that we will sacrifice to the Lord our God. Amen. And then he kept on telling the things that will happen. Go to verse 20, verse 19. So, but I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with my wonders, which I will do in his midst. And after that, he will let you go. You know that God is God. Amen. Now, if those things didn't happen the way he had told Moses, Moses would have had a question. So some people are very meticulous. They will just write it down. This is what he said, And he said, he will not let you go easily. And he told them, he told Moses from the beginning, he won't let you go easily. Okay? He said, but I will do wonders, okay, by my mighty hand. Okay, and then after that, he will let you go. Then verse 21. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely, or our who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. Hallelujah. So he gave a picture of the end from the beginning. So, and everything he was telling Moses, if the Israelites were there, it would look impossible to them. This is where we're coming from. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Okay? So I'm saying, God comes to Moses and says, look, I have seen this, the pressure and the pains of my people, and I know their sorrows. Okay? And I see how they have been made to slave. And I see how the Egyptians are treating them. Okay? And I've come to deliver them. Hallelujah. Amen. And do you notice that? I think it's verse 18. Go to 18, please. Do you notice that here? God did not say Pharaoh will listen, will heed to my voice. God did not say Pharaoh will heed his God's voice. Huh? He said, then they will heed your voice. Huh?
And you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you say to him, the Lord God of Hebrews has met with us. Now, please, let us go 3 days. Okay? Everything had to be about Moses' voice. Everything had to be about Moses crying out. First, he will go to the children of Israel and tell them, I have been sent to you. Huh? They will listen to what he has to say. This is what the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob has told me to tell you. And then the elders of Israel, they will go, they will follow him, and then they will go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh that we want to go and serve our God for 3 days. Hallelujah. Amen. And he says, these things will not come on a platter of gold. That's what he was telling them. That look, even not, go to verse, I think it's verse 19. He says, but I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. Meaning that if they are started from the place of war, they will not have achieved anything near freedom. That's what he was saying. That he will not let you go, even if by a mighty hand, he will not let you go. He says that, but the next verse says, so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with my wonders. You see, we don't win battles without the element of God in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Without God in the midst of anything, we don't win. Hallelujah. Everything we do, you can expend all the energy, all the whatever you have, you are not going to get the desired result without God. So he says here that, look, even with the mighty hand, he's not going to let you guys go until the guy experiences my hand. Huh? And mind you, every time that you are in pursuit of anything, it's pursuit. Let me use the word pursuit. So you want to get something done, or you want to have something, you're pursuing it. Huh? And it suddenly looks like something has given way. Huh? It is not your effort. It is the fact that the mighty hand of God has been shown to whoever is on the receiving end, and suddenly is going to let go. So it's not about the English you speak. It's not about how well you carry yourself. It is about the fact that on the other side, whoever is on the receiving side, God touches a person one way or the other. And then it will snap. Right? Okay. He says, so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with my wonders, which I will do in the midst, and after that, it will let you go. Continue, please. I thought we read. Sorry. It's now 22. 21 and 22. It says, and I will give the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. It doesn't make any sense. Hallelujah. That for people that were told to make brick, they were not even given any raw materials. They go look for the raw materials. Okay, after the point they were being given raw materials. Then when they said, we want to go and serve God, give us 3 days. Well, look, that you guys don't have enough task on your hand. Abi, so the fact that Moses and the elders were following what God said, even got them into what looked like more trouble. But if Moses and the elders would look back, they remember that God has said that it would be difficult. Okay, not even by mighty hand will they be saved. And then he turned it to, I'm not even giving you raw materials. Go and look for raw materials, and then come and make as much brick as you have made, will have made, if as the time you had raw materials. So at that point, people will have given up, that there's nothing going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because sometimes it looks like it's just a dead end. Exodus 13. You know, in Genesis, I think it's Genesis chapter 50, towards the end, that part that Joseph gave them an instruction about his bones. You remember what the instruction he gave the Israelites about his bones? That God will certainly visit you, and do not leave this place without taking my bones with you. Yeah, Genesis chapter 15, verse 25. Yeah, thank you. So in Exodus chapter 13. Okay, so this was after the Passover. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me, from verse 1, all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of the beast, it is mine. And Moses said to people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month Abib, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of Canaanites, Hittites and Amorites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you will keep this service in this month. Okay, then in verse 18. Then in verse 17, it says, then it came to pass, okay, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led them by. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. Hallelujah. So they took their journey from Sukkot and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in pillar of cloud to lead them, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light. So as to go by day and night, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night before the people. Amen. Verse 19 says that, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. Amen. If the children of Israel left in a haste, it will have been difficult for them to remember somebody's bones. Hallelujah. That means that God had occupied the Egyptians, and so busied them with whatever they were taking. I mean, they were burying their firstborns, okay? He had so busied them with that they had no time for the Israelites. Hallelujah. They had no time. So when Moses was saying, let us go, he still remembered, okay, that this is the solemn oath. And they so well, and that's one thing about that generation, they so well passed information from one generation to another without diluting it. Amen. Very important, without diluting it. If God was going to introduce himself to, God was going to tell Moses to introduce him to the Israelites. God was saying, tell them I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Hallelujah. If there had not been a proper handover from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, God would not have been referring to that. Because that story would have been lost. Amen. It would have been lost. I mean, just even in our present age, if you ask some people about the story of June 12, except for the people that are struggling now, that everybody should know that there was a June 12th. Practically all those people that were the main actors in June 12th, these ones that are here, that are born now, they don't know. And is it up to 40 years? It's not up to 40 years. Because why? We are not doing a good service of passing information from one generation to another, undiluted. And it's important that the things that are important to you, you are able to pass on to your children. And then you pass, then they also know that it's important, and then they'll pass on to the ones that they give birth to. It says, Moses, they took away the bones of Joseph. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 36. So we're coming from Luke 1:37 that says, with God nothing shall be impossible. Okay? And even the story of the Israelites, we look at now.
God had told Moses, this is how it's going to happen. And then we saw that at the end of the day, that was what happened. They left Egypt. They left with everything that they could take from Egypt. They went, I mean, he told them in chapter 3, and then by the time we got to chapter 15, chapter 16, they went and they picked, and you know that everything they took from Egypt was what they used in the wilderness. Huh? Even that calf made of gold, it was the gold that they picked up from the Egyptians. And whatever they had in Egypt, that they packed. What a great army they must have been. Amen. What a great army they must have been. And you see, when we are reliving these stories, I mean, when Toby was speaking the other time, he made mention of, he made mention of Romans 15 verse 4. It says that for whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Okay? Now, in John chapter 16, and you give me the TPT, verse 33. Because these are the things that will give you confidence. Once you have a God, do I say the God of old? Hallelujah. But remember, the Bible says, I think Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Okay. John 16, verse 33 says, and everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. It says, everything that I have taught you. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, everything that I have taught you. It's not, I didn't teach you so that you lounge with it or you forget things. It says, so that you, that the peace which is in me will be in you and it will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. What I want you to pick out here, or what I want to point out to you, is that it says, that peace that's in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. Hallelujah. And how does he want to achieve that? It says, the things that I have taught you. And how are we taught things? One, you have somebody sit down and deal with you one-on-one. Abi, carry a book and say, yeah, let's do this one-on-one. Or informal learning, okay, you teach. Or you yourself, you take and refers you. That's why I read Romans 15, verse 4. It refers you to the scriptures. It says, these things that were written before, they were written for your learning. So there's a teaching. If there's a teaching, there is a learning. Hallelujah. So if the scripture says they were written for your learning, that means that those things that you are reading are teaching you, and it says so that you may have peace and comfort in the scriptures. We got nothing. What the angel told Mary, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And he did a good job of telling her that, look, this is the thing, this is where God is taking you to. And this is what God has done in a situation that looks so bad. In verse 36, it says, your relative that is fast is of old age and was barren is now gone down the line 6 months and has conceived. If you and I will be relating in this age and time, we probably will not be able to pass across this message the way the angel has been able to pass it across to Mary. Okay? Because Mary could relate. Then the things that happen to you and I, that's why when we come together and we tell testimonies, is to encourage one another that God is alive and is working. Amen. When we come, we look at the things that have happened to you. And then you just be like, oh my God. I was watching, I think it was a film that we were watching the other day, and there was a miracle. And then this woman went to church and was giving her testimony. And then everybody came, some people came and said, are we sure you are telling the truth? I was sure that you are not making up this story. And the woman was pained. Then one gentleman stood up in the crowd and said, look, everything she said is true because I was there, I witnessed it. And he said, I traveled all the way. I mean, like coming from Abuja to Lagos because I knew that she was going to have this testimony in church. Okay, everybody was there, cameraman and everybody. They said, because I knew that she was going to have this testimony and I wanted to tell you because I had a personal encounter with whatever was happening. that our personal encounters, they really go a long way in also encouraging us. Please, John 16:33, in also encouraging us. He says, "As the things I've taught you, is so that," John 16:33, "is so that you will have, so that the peace which is in me will be in you." Hallelujah. Amen. So, for the past 2 weeks, we looked at Colossians 3:3, that says that this is your true life, your life in God, in Christ. That is your true life. And now he's saying that, so that the peace that is in me will be in you. Okay? He says, "I've taught you all these things, so that the peace," and then he says that, "and then you will have great confidence as you rest in me." Meaning that his peace becomes your peace. And if you remember Colossians 3:3, he says, his crucifixion is our crucifixion. Hallelujah. And he says, "This is now the true life that you live. In God, in Christ." If we remember the birth of Christ, the circumstances surrounding the birth of Christ, the stories surrounding the birth of Christ, we come to this point where even the angel said, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." Then when we sit down and we say that we are passing through things, we should know that we should be sitting down and looking at things from that peace point of view that Christ wanted us to look at when he was talking in John 16:33. That says, "My peace becomes your peace, and then you have confidence as you rest in me." Hallelujah. Meaning that as you hand over everything to me, then you have rest. Amen. Now, you are not handing over it to him because you don't have an option. You are not handing everything over to him because somebody said you should do it. You are handing over to him because you have experienced him. That's why he said, "The things I've taught you, then my peace becomes your peace. And after that, after my peace becomes your peace, then you have that confidence to rest in me." Because at that point, whatever happens, anything that happens, because you know that you are in him, you'll be very calm. Just like when there was turbulence in the sea and he was in the boat. And then he said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" If their peace had been in him, they would have just continued without uttering any word. They would have just continued on that journey. You know, every time I have the opportunity, I always remind people that the accident I had, as bad as it is, you know, some people will have accident. They will say, "God, why me?" As bad as that accident was, I looked at everything that happened before the accident and after the accident, and I said, and there was no doubt that all through that accident, God was there. As I was going to take off from the immigration office at Abeokuta, and the immigration officer I went to process my passport, and the immigration officer said, "Please, sir, are you going to Lagos?" I said, "Yes, I'm going to Lagos. Can I take a ride with you?" It was a Friday. My family stays there. I'm going for the weekend. He said, "No problem." And he came in. As I was about to make a U-turn, I noticed that he wasn't putting on his seatbelt. And I said, "Sir, please, could you just put on your seatbelt?" And he strapped himself. And in 5 minutes, we had an accident. And the accident was so bad. The car somersaulted four times and went to the other side of the express. Where, you know, oncoming vehicles. He went to the other side of the express and he was right across the road. So if the road was a two lane, my vehicle was right across the road for any vehicle that was coming to just ramp into it. And it was upside down. So he just did somersault and land on his Lego. It was upside down. And then he was right there for oncoming vehicles to ramp into. And then I looked at it again. At the point where we had the accident, there were people there that were selling. All these people, they were walking. It was a major junction. People, they were walking, whatever. Everybody left what they were doing and came to rescue us because the car was upside down. And then water from the radiator was gushing out, hit everything. And they were screaming out, "You need to get these people out before anything happens to the car." You know, and while we were so assaulting, I was thinking, "God, when is this car going to stop?" And then I was looking at the man beside me. He was struggling. I can't even just imagine what. He was struggling with his belt, you know? And he was really trying to help himself. But maybe because I was holding the steering. So I held on to the steering. And as we were turning, I saw him. And that's why I told you that all those things they show in film that it looks like slow motion. That's how it really happens. It actually happens like a slow motion. Everything I saw was in slow motion. But everything was like, accident doesn't take 1 minute, though. It was like 30 seconds, 20 seconds. And I saw everything was slow motion. The car was first time, the second time, the third time. I said, God, so when is it going to stop? I immediately stopped. We were upside down. Like, upside down. And then I started feeling for my leg. Like, okay, is my leg still there? So my leg is there. My hand, Nicole, is there. And then these people pushed the car up. They brought me out and sat me by the roadside. And then the next vehicle that was coming was an ambulance. It was coming towards the vehicle. The vehicle that was in the middle of the road. It was an ambulance. It had a nurse. It was just not an ambulance. It had a nurse in it. And at that time, I was talking to Setman on the phone. So I managed to find my phone. And I called Setman. I said, Setman, this is Setman. I said, who called the ambulance? Where is the ambulance? I said, that's how God works. So we're in the ambulance. The two of us. And then they took us away. So for me, there was no question about where was God. Hallelujah. So for you to know how bad it was, that car had 12 airbags and all the 12 airbags deployed. Everything, all the 12 airbags deployed. You know, all these American cars, everything deployed. And then we came out. I only had one cut here and here. But then, of course, thank God for the people that dressed me up. They made the plaster so big that by the time I got home and this last saw me, this ran away. Hallelujah. See, when you remember those things and you are able to tell people that there's a living God, to tell them that with God, nothing shall be impossible, you will not be sweating. So that angel was latching on the fact that, okay, if you think what I'm telling you is fabu or is too much for you to comprehend or to take in, then take a look at your cousin. And what did Elizabeth do after that? It says now in what did Mary do after that? Guess who was 39? It says after the angel had departed, what did Mary do? It says now Mary arose in those days and went into the city, into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Go back to verse. No, go back 39. He says, after that encounter, so for you to know that she was still processing it. And then what the angel told her, she needed to confirm it. He says she went in what? With haste. So in case somebody would like you and say, she must have waited some days before going. This one, after the angel left, she said, she said she went to a city and went, well, 40, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. The next verse. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with a loud voice, saying, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit. Who is speaking? Elizabeth. And who is she addressing? Mary. Now, who has gone to confirm something? Mary had gone to confirm whether Elizabeth was truly pregnant. Abby? And then the Bible says that on sighting Mary, the baby in the womb of Elizabeth leaped, Abby, and then she spoke with a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Now, Mary had not told anybody. She had not told anybody, this is my encounter. I mean, it's not recorded. Because now I said she went in a haste. And then for Elizabeth to be like, blessed is the fruit of your womb. The next verse. But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Mary did not need to ask before there was a confirmation of the word of God to her. So if there was any doubt before, at the point that Elizabeth was addressing her without being prompted by Mary, every other thing was taken care of. The next verse. It says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And then, what else? And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. That was like a seal to whatever the angel had told her. Hallelujah. And I was telling you, I said, if you are trying, you are in pursuit of something, assuming that I'm looking for, maybe this is an office, and I approach her, and I make a request, as she begins to deal with me, and say, no, it's not going to happen. And all of a sudden, she just says, okay, you know what? I'm going to do it. It's not what I have done. It's the fact that God had visited her. And then at that point, she's letting go of whatever, any hindrance at all, without being forced. I said, okay, you know what? I'll do it. Mary was not forced to believe. She just had encounters. Encounters, and putting everything together, there was no room for unbelief. If there won't be room for unbelief in your life, then you have to be very conversant with God's word. Hallelujah. If you want to say, if you will take it the fact that with God nothing shall be impossible, you have to be very conversant with God's word and the dealings of God. He says, these things I've taught you. He says, these things I've taught you so that you have peace, my peace. And then you will have what? Confidence in my rest. The boldness with which you accept God's word, or the boldness with which we carry out God's word, is absolutely important. So if you are stepping out, like we read in Luke chapter 8 on Sunday, those four receptors of the seed, okay? That they did not mix it with those ones that heard the word, believed, and then they did not do anything with it. Okay? And then the devil came and snatched it away. And then the ones that believed, then they acted upon the word of God. See, the boldness and the confidence with which you receive the word of God goes a long way in determining how well you will use that word of God. Hallelujah. If God says go, and you are hesitating, there's going to be a problem. In Exodus chapter 14, he says, and verse 8, he says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this was Pharaoh that when they were within the confines of Egypt, they were very scared of. They dare not take a step, right? They dare not make one move. They were just very scared. They were contained. But when they were certain, when God's rest or God's peace became their peace, and then they were resting in God, he said, even when they saw that he was pursuing, he said, the children of Israel stepped out, they went out with boldness. That's what happens when you make God's peace your peace. Hallelujah. The boldness with which you do it. You would say, I don't know where the boldness came from. When Elizabeth was addressing Mary, he says, the babe left because of the spirit. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. It says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Meaning that at this point onwards, everything Elizabeth did was at the instance of the Holy Spirit. Because for her to have known that Mary was carrying the Savior, the Lord of my, the one that is carrying my Lord is here. For her to have known, it has to be by the express knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We cannot achieve anything except there's God in it. Hallelujah. And then we are reliant on the Holy Spirit of God. Let's rise to our feet.
Let's talk to God this evening. Let's thank Him because He's indeed our God. Thank Him because we want that boldness to be able to step out at His instance. Thank Him because we have the boldness to be able to step out at His instance, to be able to launch out into the deep at His instance, because we now know that what He wants, look, John chapter 16, verse 33, what He wants is that His peace be our peace, and then we have confidence and rest in Him. Let's thank Him because our confidence and our hope, everything concerning us, they have foundation in Him. And thank You, Almighty God, because indeed, our lives will not remain the same again. We give You all the praise and all the glory. Let Your name be exalted, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.